beautiful. She's a princess, and she's got soft, kind of pinkish lipstick on. She's got a very nice pink blouse open at the collar, long dangly earrings. And then up to the right, we see Rebel Wilson on Humiliation in Hollywood and Finding Happiness. Also, another captain says, Murderers Caught on Camera and Killer Arrested After a Woman Discovers Horrifying Videos on His Phone. So let's start with the first story about the princess. Kate's cancer rocks the monarchy. We see this, of course, it opens up to the middle, about the middle of the magazine. And on the left, we see the princess here, her hair parted almost in the middle, long straggling down across her shoulders. She's wearing a white sweater with medium width blue stripes across it. She's got her hands crossed and her legs crossed, and her hands are like in her lap. And Candid Kate, she looked frail, and yet she summoned the strength to be absolutely herself in front of the camera, says royal historian Amanda Foreman. Facing a storm of rumors, the royal mom of three reveals a devastating diagnosis just weeks after King Charles disclosed that he too has cancer. How the royal family is coping with the unprecedented crisis. And this story is by Simon Perry. Sitting alone on a wooden bench in the garden of Windsor Castle, near her home with Prince William and their three children, Prince George, 12, Princess Charlotte, 8, and Prince Louis, age 5, Princess Kate prepared to tackle the most difficult speech of her life. In a video that sent shockwaves around the globe on March 22nd, Kate revealed that she had been diagnosed with cancer and was undergoing chemotherapy. The royal mom, so famous for her unerring poise, spoke about initially keeping the diagnosis private, quote, for the sake of our young family, unquote, her voice cracking with emotion. Against a backdrop of yellow daffodils, often seen as a symbol of hope for those with cancer, Kate managed a hint of a smile as she concluded, I am well. To others dealing with cancer, she counseled, You are not alone, says a source close to the royal household. She held it together. At 42, Kate is carrying an extraordinary heavy weight on her slender shoulders on a scary diagnosis. She has not disclosed the type or stage of cancer, but said it was discovered after her January 16th abdominal surgery, along with the eyes of the world on both her health and what her illness might mean for the future of the monarchy. But sitting in that garden, the same place where Queen Elizabeth had spent extensive time during her final years, Kate was focused only on sharing her truth in her own words. She wrote the words herself and delivered it personally. She wanted to decide when the time was right to tell the world, says her former private secretary, Jamie Lowther Pinkerton. It is an incredibly important thing that she's done. I thought, this is our future queen. Goodness, what courage! Exclamation point. She showed remarkable composure given all that has been swirling around. Indeed, the cancer announcement followed weeks of intense social media speculation about Kate's health and whereabouts, which reached a fever pitch with the release of a photo shared by the Palace for UK Mother's Day on March 10th, in which Kate was shown looking vibrant alongside her three children. When major news agencies pulled the photo after determining it had been manipulated, Kate admitted to editing, quote unquote, the image and apologized. The rare misstep only served to fuel the rumor mill. Then came a distressing report on March 19th that staff at the London clinic allegedly attempted to access Kate's medical records. It quickly became clear that she and William, age 41, were at the center of a storm unlike any other they faced before. It unleashed a pent-up feeling that people wanted information. Unfortunately, that's the curse of being a modern royal, says a former longtime palace aide. In stark contrast to King Charles' swift and clear cancer announcement on February 5th, Kate's health news came after weeks of uncertainty and confusion. Royal historian Amanda Foreman says of the chaos, this was the day that the royal family came crashing down the earth, and you realize that they are just human beings. Kate's vulnerable video address, of course, is a reminder that cancer knows no hierarchy. And in King Charles 75, Kate has someone with whom she can share her journey. This marks the first time in the monarch's history that two senior royals are facing cancer simultaneously. The king was said by the palace to be, quote, so proud of Catherine for her courage in speaking as she did, unquote. The day before Kate's video was released to the world, he and Kate shared a private lunch at Windsor Castle, quote, he has always had a very good bond with her. I don't think it's presumptuous to say she is like the daughter he never had, unquote, says royal biographer Sally Bedell Smith. He shares with William an impulse to protect her. They are in this together, Kate and the king. Apart from being king and future queen, they are also two patients going through a common health experience, says a royal source, noting they are about to have a close connection. I imagine there was some comfort for Kate in seeing that it was possible to balance some private information without there being an imperative to share all. The public now knows that in addition to recovering from major abdominal surgery, the nature of which has not been disclosed, Kate began a course of chemotherapy just a few weeks later in late February. This timing also aligns with William's headline-making absence from the February 27th memorial service for his godfather, King Constantine of Greece, which royal sources now confirm was due to Kate's cancer, but at the time went unexplained. Always wary of leaks to the press, Kate had been open about her diagnosis to some, but other close friends and confidants were unaware. It was a heck of a shock, says one. Adds the former palace aide, the circle of knowledge was very tight. Behind the scenes, Kate has been taking steps to prioritize her health and well-being, but she hasn't been in complete seclusion. Both she and William have been spotted at their children's sports events and lessons in recent weeks. On March 16th, the couple were photographed running errands together at Windsor's Farm Shop. Having fun together when they can is very important, says a family friend. This is about her feeling supported. She doesn't feel isolated at all. Kate's parents, Carol and Michael Middleton, have been an additional source of help, with Carol accompanying Kate on school drop-offs. Kate's younger siblings, Pippa, age 40, and James, 36, along with their families, are also nearby. In a touching statement accompanied by a photo of himself and Kate as children, James wrote on Instagram, "Over the years, we have climbed many mountains together. As a family, we will climb this one with you too." When Kate's health crisis has strengthened, the safety net around her, it has also highlighted the royal family's ongoing estrangement from Prince Harry, 39, and Meghan Markle, age 42, who learned the news at the same time as the rest of the world. However, they privately reached out to William and Kate following the announcement and publicly released a statement. "We wish health and healing for Kate and the family and hope they are able to do so privately and in peace." Harry is expected to be in the UK in May for a series of events related to the Invictus Games. "Times like this bring people closer together," says the former palace aide. Hopefully, this will produce a more positive outcome. Amid the challenges of his wife and father's both battling cancer, tensions with his brother are the least of William's concerns. There will be a lot more pressure on William, but he's always been aware of that. He has evolved to lead, and he is leading, says the former palace aide. Quoting here, "He is well equipped for it and has his priorities in order. In this time of crisis, they've been shutting themselves away and focusing on family and the children. That is what the Queen did when Diana died, despite the criticism," unquote. As a close palace source, William is incredibly stoic and strong. He took a lot from the way his grandmother operated, and his playbook is modeled on hers. It's going to be incredibly difficult, but he is a man who is used to shouldering pressure. In the days following Kate's announcement, she and William resumed focusing on their children, who are currently on their Easter break. The family of five will deviate from tradition by opting out of the royals' Easter services at St. George Chapel. Instead, they will spend the long weekend privately at home. William will resume public duties after the children return to Lambrook School on April 17th. Kate, who will remain out of the public eye during her treatment, may join in events when she feels able. But palace sources say that would not necessarily signal a return to royal duties. That decision will rest on doctor's advice. For now, her focus is on her full recovery with her family there to support her. She has the inner strength, the support of her husband, and her extraordinary family so she can focus on what's important, says Ailsa, A-I-L-S-A, Anderson, a former spokeswoman for Queen Elizabeth, which is getting her back to strength. Those closest to her say they have every hope that when she is ready, Kate will return stronger than ever. The royal family is vulnerable at the moment, and there will be an even greater appreciation that they are human beings with frailties like the rest of us, says the former palace aide. They are so dedicated to their roles. I think you will find when Kate makes a full recovery, she will come back even more passionate. Oh, yeah, there's a couple of pictures in here, I think, and there's a little inset article here. Kate breaks her silence. In an unprecedented moment, the Princess of Wales gave a rare address to the world in which she revealed her cancer diagnosis. I wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you personally for all the wonderful messages of support and for your understanding whilst I have been recovering from surgery. It has been an incredibly tough couple of months for our entire family, but I've had a fantastic medical team who have taken great care of me, for which I am so grateful. In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London, and at the time it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present. My medical team therefore advised that I should undergo a course of preventative chemotherapy, and I am now in the early stages of that treatment. This, of course, came as a huge shock, and William and I have been doing everything we can to process and manage this privately for the sake of our young family. As you can imagine, this has taken time. It has taken me time to recover from major surgery in order to start my treatment. But most importantly, it has taken us time to explain everything to George, Charlotte, and Louis in a way that it is appropriate for them and to reassure them that I am going to be okay. As I have said to them, I am well and getting stronger every day by focusing on the things that will help me heal in my mind, body, and spirits. Having William by my side is a great source of comfort and reassurance, too, as is the love, support, and kindness that has been shown by so many of you. It means so much to us both. We hope that you will understand that, as a family, we now need some time, space, and privacy while I complete my treatment. My work has always brought me a deep sense of joy, and I look forward to being back when I am able, but for now I must focus on making a full recovery. At this time, I am also thinking of all those whose lives have been affected by cancer. For everyone facing this disease, in whatever form, please do not lose faith or hope. You are not alone. And a lot of pictures, as I'd mentioned, of the royal family throughout that article. Some beautiful shots there. Oh, we got the Queen. We got the King Charles. We got Prince Philip, Harry and Meghan. All kinds of pictures there. And how about this one? Rebel Wilson, I'm proud of what I've overcome. In a bold new memoir, the Pitch Perfect star opens up about her painful past and her surprising journey to love and motherhood. This story is by Liz McNeil with photographs by Cliff Watts. Beautiful picture of Rebel Wilson here, the blonde hair kind of tussled a little bit in a mint-colored top that she's wearing. And it takes up a good portion of the a two-page in the People magazine. It says, exclusive people, exclusive. When she first came to Hollywood, Rebel Wilson was often told how brave she was. Did I fight in a war, run into a burning building? No, says the actress, age 44. It was that I dared to exist in a town where only thin women were valued. I dared to walk on that red carpet and smile in my bigger body. And she reveals in her new memoir, Rebel Rising, excerpted exclusively here, true courage meant much more. The Australian-born actress and oldest of four, her parents Sue and Warwick Bounds, both worked on the dog show circuit and were about what Wilson calls one step above carnies. She survived the tough childhood and a strained relationship with her father, who was violent at times. She dreamed of escape and in 2009 sold everything she owned and moved to Hollywood, where her comic bravado in such films as Bridesmaids and Pitch Perfect and the Pitch Perfect franchise proved that larger women could be much more than just the funny fat friend. She hoped to use those same comedic chops when Sasha Baron Cohen asked her to co-star in the 2016 film The Brothers Grimsby, but she claims in her book he humiliated her on set, which Baron Cohen adamantly denies. Now engaged to fashion designer Ramona Agrima, age 40, and a mom to daughter Royce, age 16 months, Wilson says she's sharing her roller coaster journey with the hope that people might find some inspiration. Maybe some people thought it was brave, but I was just being myself. My mother wanted to call me Rebel, but my father disagreed. They'll never let her into Tara with that name. Even then, he planned to send her his children to the same Christian private schools he attended. So on my birth certificate, I was given the name Melanie Elizabeth Bowens, B-O-W-N-D-S. Mom didn't stand up for Dad to that that day, but she would always pull me aside and say, "Rebel is the name I called you." On one of those really hot Sydney summer days, it's too hot for bed sheets, so we, Liberty and I, take them off. We wet my mattress with cold washcloths and lie in the dampness, finally cooling down. Dad comes in. "What the hell are you two doing?" He brings his palm up and hits me. Whack. He hits my sister too. But I'm the oldest, so I get hit the hardest. Then after about 30 seconds of terror, he leaves. I've always had a sweet tooth. The first prayer I ever remembered saying was to God to let me win the Easter raffle at the dog show, where the prize was a giant basket of chocolate eggs. And then, holy Jesus, I did win the raffle. I took the huge basket to a quiet corner and started eating the whole thing, egg by egg. It's never too much. It's never too sweet. Forget about Dad's angry outbursts. Feel that sweetness. Feel the comfort. Wilson graduated from University of New South Wales with double degrees in law and arts in 2009. After starring on TV comedies in Australia, she flew to L.A. and landed a role in Bridesmaids. It took a year after I filmed my scenes in Bridesmaids for the film to be released in April 2011. That was one of the loneliest years of my life. Once I'd paid for rent, I only had $60 a week to live on. After the premiere, I returned to my one-bedroom apartment in Los Feliz. I take off my purple dress and shapewear. I remove my makeup and take out the hair pieces. I look at myself in the mirror. "See, women are funny!" Exclamation point, I say to myself. Then I head to the freezer, pull out a pint of ice cream, and celebrate by eating in front of the TV in an oversized Disneyland nightie until I can't stay awake anymore. In 2013, her father, who had separated from her mom in 1997, died from a heart attack at 62. She wrote him a letter that she tucked into his pocket. Dear Dad, I've said a lot that you were never really part of my acting career, but on reflection, you were and are. There's a cheekiness, a dodginess, an entrepreneurialness, a darkness of creativeness, a bravado-ness that comes from you and your side of the family. I thank you greatly for that. I'm sure you didn't mean to bring so much pain to Mum and us kids. You didn't mean to lose your temper and do spiteful and hateful things. I want you to know that I forgive you. I will strive to find love. I will no longer be afraid of it. After reaching major stardom in the Pitch Perfect films, she declared her year of love in 2019 and vowed to accept every date invitation that came her way. "This is going to be a heaps embarrassing headline," Rebel declares. "I didn't lose my virginity until I was 35 years old. I knew I wasn't asexual, as I wanted to have sex, but I was either so innocent in my teens or so busy making myself look grotesquely unattractive for comedic purposes that no romantic opportunity ever presented itself. When it came to physical intimacy, I was terrified." She got set up with a producer, Mickey. I was filming How to Be a Single in New York and had a gorgeous hotel room. Mickey flew in that weekend, and then it just happened. I finally have sex. It feels amazing. I go to the bathroom and high-five myself. I like my new wild sexual self. In 2020, after her fertility doctor told her she'd have a better chance of harvesting quality eggs if she was healthier, she lost 80 pounds. I've slowly taken off the three layers of wet clothes surrounding my body. Layer one, the excess weight that I was carrying on my frame. Layer two, all the emotional baggage I was holding onto and all those mini traumas that stick to you like burrs. Layer three, the protective barrier I built over the years, the one that truly prevented me from letting anyone in. In a Marie Kondo kind of way, I thank the layers for their years of service. But for now, even though I'm getting so much positive attention for losing weight and becoming healthier, I still wonder, am I going to be less interesting? I still think beauty is in every shape and size. She froze her eggs and created embryos with a sperm donor. Then I get the phone call. I'm so sorry, Rebel. None of the embryos seem to be growing properly. The cells don't appear strong enough. I feel such sadness. I'm so alone and I don't know what to do. In November 2021, I was introduced to Ramona via text by our mutual friend, Australian actor Hugh Sheridan. We talk about how it never quite seemed to work out with me and these dudes. Why don't you just date a woman? Hugh quipped. Let me connect you with my friend Ramona. She'd had a crush on a woman before, but never a true relationship with one. Ramona and I started FaceTiming and talking on the phone, getting to know each other over the old-fashioned way. I was supposed to stay in Australia through the holidays, but in true Hollywood rom-com style, I jumped on a plane to fly halfway around the world to L.A. to meet Ramona. She set up our first date for a few hours after I land. Lunch at the Hotel Bel Air. I'm so nervous. I'm also worried that if Ramona and I do hit it off, I don't have much sexual experience with a woman, and I've only had time to read half of the Girls Sex 101 books. I'm going to have to wrap this one up. After another round of egg harvesting, her last viable embryo was implanted in a surrogate. In November 2022, she welcomed her daughter, Royce Lillian Elizabeth, with Ramona at her side. I cut the umbilical cord, and then, as she's being weighed and measured, she grabs one of my fingers with her tiny left hand and one of Ramona's fingers with her tiny right hand. She opens her eyes, and she looks at us. We're a family now. I'm 42 years old, and I have a baby. I'm a mother. It's a bloody miracle. And let's take a look at the five things we're talking about. Number one, Margot Robbie's Sims movie. The Sims universe is coming to the big screen. Following the success of Barbie, Margot Robbie's production company Lucky Chap Entertainment is teaming up with Vertigo Entertainment to release a film adaptation of the video game series. Number two, Short King Spring. Celebrating the first day of spring, Dunkin' has renamed its small iced coffee the Short King for a limited time, inspired by the Short King social media meme honoring shorter men in our lives. Number three, Beetlejuice 2 trailer. Ahead of the film's September 5th release, the promo for Beetlejuice, the sequel to Tim Burton's 1988 hit, brings back Michael Keaton and also stars Jenna Ortega. And number five, Megan's love letter to T-Pain. T-Pain is making Meghan Trainor's dreams come true. To thank her favorite artist of all time for teaming up on Ben Like This, she purchased a full-page ad in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And looking over at Star Trek's, The Boss is back, Phoenix, March 19th. After postponing several 2023 tour dates because of peptic ulcer disease, Bruce Springsteen rocked out with Steven Van Zandt and the E Street Band during a 29-song set at the Footprint Center. Springsteen addressed his illness before starting his final track. I'll see you in my dreams. 3 days later, at his show in Las Vegas, Springsteen popped champagne and sported fake facial hair, similar to Sin City legend Elvis Presley. It looks like he's got these heavy sideburns like Elvis had all those years ago. Oh, let's see what else we have here as we scan through. Okay, there's our scoop. The fight over his estate. Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson's mother, Catherine, and his son, Biggie, appeared to be at odds. On March 18th, Biggie, B-I-G-I, formerly known as Blanket, 22, filed court documents objecting to his grandmother's request to use money from the late singer's $2 billion estate to fund her ongoing legal battle against co-executors John Branca and John McClain. Catherine, 93, filed an appeal, which is still pending. Last year, after a court approved Branca and McClain's proposed deal to sell half of Jackson's music catalog to Sony for an estimated $600 million. In his filing, Biggie argued it would be unfair for him and his siblings, Paris 26 and Prince 27, to foot her bills when they expressly decided an appeal would not be in their best interest. And that story by Rachel DeSantis. And Richie Sambora's life after leaving Bon Jovi. Guitarist Richie Sambora, Bon Jovi of a world... guitarist Richie Sambora left Bon Jovi in the middle of a world tour in 2013, and he and frontman John Bon Jovi still aren't on regular speaking terms. We're not in contact because he's not in the organization any longer, Bon Jovi, 62, told Ultimate Classic Rock on March 14th. That doesn't mean that there's not love forever, but it's 11 years ago that he just didn't show up anymore. In the 3 years leading up to his departure, a source says Sambora, 64, was feeling demoralized amid growing tension in the band. The source also notes Sambora had a lot of personal issues he was dealing with, including his divorce from Heather Locklear and the death of his father. The rocker, who along with Bon Jovi will appear in the Hulu docuseries Thank You, Good Night, The Bon Jovi Story, airing April 26, retreated to his home in Calabasas, California, and focused on himself and his relationship with his and Locklear's daughter, Ava, 26. Richie and Ava are very close, says the source. She means everything to him and always has. That story from Daniela Avila. And, of course, this next one for the Swifties, Taylor and Travis, how they're enjoying time off together. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are taking time for some rest and relaxation now that she's in between legs of her international Eras Tour and the 2023-24 NFL season is behind him. A source says the superstar and the Kansas City Chiefs tight end, both 34, recently spent several days at a getaway in the Bahamas. It was a much-needed break for both of them, says the source. They very much enjoyed it. Upon their return from vacation, the couple were spotted on a lunch date at the Nobu restaurant in Malibu. Swift is gearing up for a busy spring. Her new album, The Tortured Poets Department, is set for release on April 19th, and the Paris dates of her tour kick off on May 9th. That story from Alex Ross. I think we can wrap things up with this one. Woman celebrates 106th birthday with first ever Disney trip from Lake Buena Vista, Florida. Centenarian Magnolia Jackson has done many things, but she'd never been to Walt Disney World. That all changed on March 12th when she celebrated her 106th birthday with family and friends, plus Mickey, Minnie, Princess Tiana, and their pals at the Magic Kingdom. A longtime Florida resident, Jackson fell in love with all things Disney last fall after she attended the Florida Classic college football game and saw Mickey perform on the field. Watching her finally make it to the park was magical, says Walt Disney World's Shannon Smith Conrad, who joined in the festivities. You just felt the love that she had in her heart and the excitement to be here. That story from Christy Hatcher. Okay, we have to squeeze one more in because this one's so darn cute. Neighbors to the rescue after dad discards stuffed dogs. And this is from Stafford, New Hampshire. After Jake McAlpin accidentally took his daughter's beloved stuffed dog to the dump following a spring cleaning session, his wife, Meredith, asked for help on their town's Facebook page. City Selectman Brian Monahan saw the post and rallied a crew to root through the trash to find Cupcake. It was an adventure, says Monahan. The reunion was well worth the trouble. Charlotte, 16, was very happy, says Meredith. You gotta love a story like that. That story from Wendy Grossman Cantor. All right. And I think that's going to do it for this installment of the Magazine Rack. I've been reading from the April 8th issue of People Magazine. I apologize. I may have said the 3rd at the beginning of the program. But it is the 8th. I'm Steve Parker. So long until next time.